Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
In this interview, I'm speaking with Dwayne Leslie, who is president of Global Auction Guide, which people may remember and know as Farm Auction Guide. And Dwayne, I think first of all, it would be good to have you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're located, and what type of work it is that you do.
I'm actually a farmer from Manitoba, Canada, and as you're probably well aware, it's a very long, cold winter up here. About 5 years ago, we started a website called farmauctionguide.com, and that's basically a place for myself to go and find all the upcoming farm auctions from across our area and across the country. I thought, because I'm looking for this kind of information, there's probably thousands of others out there as well looking for this information. The response we've had over the last 5 years has certainly shown that there's a lot of people out there looking for this same information.
Since you have Global Auction Guide now, can you tell us what the difference is there between farmauctionguide.com and this name Global Auction Guide?
Global Auction Guide Media Group is actually our corporate identity. Within our first year, we realized, based on the response from the auctioneers and from the general public, is that we needed to expand out from our agricultural beginnings and builds the same type of websites and functionality for auctioneers for their real estate sales, their antique sales, industrial sales, all these type of things. So we rebranded ourselves as a Global Auction Guide, and we all have all the individual websites for the specific industries.
What are some examples of those different types of websites that you now incorporate underneath this banner?
Farm Auction Guide would be our main site. I guess that was our original, but we also have sites specifically for industrial, commercial type auctions at industrialauctionguide.com, a version for antiques, real estate, collectibles.
Well, it sounds like you must have some really positive response to this to go ahead into these other areas besides the farm auction component. How has this been received? What kind of reaction or business level have you been able to achieve with the sites that you've created?
Well, we've certainly expanded from what we've done the first year. In total, we've promoted over 20,000 auction events since 2001, and we currently work with over 500 auctioneers from across the continent. Being in Manitoba, we certainly cover the Western Canadian marketplace very well as the Northern Plains of the U.S. But surprisingly, a recent survey we did, Texas is our largest area for users of our websites, followed by Ohio, Minnesota, and Iowa. So that was quite a surprise, I guess, when we surveyed the people using our websites and finding out what they do and where they're from and what they're looking for.
How do you make money from this? What's the method that generates the revenue that allows you to continue doing this type of work?
The auctioneers themselves pay an annual membership fee to be able to post all their information with us, and that gives them unlimited listings, unlimited text, unlimited photos. We don't nickel and dime them for all the other little features. We just give them an annual fee, and that way they know exactly where they're at, and it keeps the system all free for bidders to come in and look around and find things. We also work with a lot of newspapers and other media groups to basically co-brand this auction content. So when we work with newspapers like High Plains Journal and Grass and Grain in Kansas, we actually supply the technology and the network for their websites, and then they're able to promote this auction product to their auctioneers in their area. It gives them a lot more than just having a regular website to post their auction calendar on. They're actually getting all these features plus a national network that they're part of that they can offer their auctioneers.
Can you describe how the Farm Auction Guide works?
When you first come into the site, you can basically choose from four different directions where you want to go. If you're looking for something specific, you can do a keyword search. The most popular search term, ag-related term that we have, is actually the good old 4020. So you can type in 4020 and you get a list of all of the upcoming auctions across North America that have a 4020 listed in them. Then, of course, you can also look at the calendar and see what's coming up on any particular day. You can browse by location, choose a state or your local area and see what's coming up. And you can also go directly to the specific company that you know of or want to know a little bit more about.
You mentioned some statistics about where your visitors come from to the site. Any other statistics you can share, like volume of traffic, number of visitors, anything like that?
We receive thousands of visitors every day, but probably the most important thing that we do is work with the number of other websites so that we actually syndicate our content out to them. As I mentioned, the High Plains Journal, we also work with Brownfield Radio Network to supply auction content to their website, other sites such as agclassifieds.com, and other auction portal sites out there. So it's very difficult to get a total handle on what our traffic is because we're giving this data out to other websites that we can't track the traffic. But we get thousands of visitors every day. Auctioneers tell us that many of their sale bills, the actual auction sale bill, is viewed as many as 5,000 or 6,000 times in the course of 30 days or 60 days, however long they've got it posted on there. They're telling us that it's working for them and they're very happy with the traffic they're getting, and that just keeps going up every month.
Do you have to report that type of information to your auctioneer customers?
Most certainly. With the internet being so much hype and smoke and mirrors at times, we have to prove to them that it's actually what traffic they're getting and that it's real numbers and real people and things like that. So an auctioneer can go in at any point in time and see their actual traffic statistics. And also, once a month, they receive an email with their traffic statistics, so they don't even have to log in and check things out if they get a little forgetful at times.
You mentioned that you are a farmer yourself. I guess I'm curious how you, not how you got into doing this internet business, but we've been through that, but the actual creation of the site itself and its development and design, can you talk about how that came about and what you've had to do in order to accomplish being able to syndicate your content, for example?
We have a bit of a background with internet marketing. We've started about 10 years ago playing around with a little site called prairielinks.com. That got our foot out there, I guess, learning and seeing what works and what doesn't and things like that. And then, like most things on the internet that become successful, it's the person has identified that need themselves, and they figure if they need it, then there's probably a lot of other people out there that need it as well. That's basically what we've come up with, the idea and the marketing plan and all these type of things. And then I have a programmer who does a great job for us translating all these strange ideas that I seem to come up with at times, or at least that's what he tells me anyways. And he's able to turn that into the proper working components of the website and to make everything work, and does an amazing job.
I also want to talk about the fact that you have a blog, you've created a blog as a component of this whole system of websites. Can you talk about how you got into that and what the blog is for and how you feel about how that's been going for you?
The blog has actually been quite an interesting little sideline or little project that we started on, actually visiting with Steve Mays from Brownfield back about a year ago, and he's been quite helpful in getting me on the right track, I guess, on how to do it and why to do it and what to do and these type of things. So basically, we just want to make it an easy way to give a lot more information to the auctioneers and to also the general public, the buying public, because it's them that make every website and every auctioneer successful. So basically, we just wanted to have an easy way to bring news and articles and then, of course, commentary and things like that about the auction industry and about things that are coming up and things people should watch for and things like internet scams and what people are. There's always people coming up with new ways to cause problems for the industry and for people in general. So if we want to make an easy way for auctioneers to be aware of this information.
I guess I'm curious how you feel about your fellow farmers out there across the United States and in Canada. Are they internet connected? Are they internet savvy? Are they responding to this, do you think? What would you say to somebody who seems to have doubts about the value of using a technique like a blog, for example, to communicate with farmers?
Like anything, farmers, once they find a tool that works for them and that they understand and find value from, they're definitely on board very quickly. I wouldn't have expected the response to our first website to be what it was, but once the farmer really understands how it works and what they can get out of it, then they jump on board really quickly. You wouldn't expect your farmer to be the average person who has their iPod out on the tractor with them, but I don't go too far without mine, whether that's listening to podcasts and listening to the Zimcast and things like that, or doing other things without with my iPack out there. So I think there's a huge growth potential for things like this, especially in the agriculture marketplace.
Well, we're certainly evangelizing that, and you're going to have to listen to yourself with the next Zimcast, which I will have edited and posted later today. I am curious about that because as I'm out talking to people in the marketing field, agricultural marketing in particular, I sense that there is still some hesitation, and I think part of it is there's not a quantification of how many farmers are reading blogs, for example, or how many farmers own a digital audio player like your iPack or an iPod and use that to subscribe to and listen to content that is now starting to become available. I was in iTunes just last night and found a couple of new agricultural-related podcast programs that are available on there. So you have some real live activity that you can point to with your auction guide to at least show, I think, what sounds like some pretty impressive statistics in terms of traffic, and we certainly feel like we do on AgWire itself. But again, if you're looking at the overall farmers out there, you know, that's one of the things that just hasn't been surveyed yet. I'll just sort of repeat the question. What do you say to people who doubt that farmers are finding these types of content on the internet and finding them useful and using them?
Well, I think in the past, there's probably no other industry out there who depended more on their daily radio newscast than what farmers do. And having a demographic that's sitting there patiently waiting to hear a particular program on the radio, whether it's their daily commentary, daily prices, things like that, for them to switch to getting that same information or expanded more information, I guess, it should work out very well. I know myself, when I'm listening to my iPack with podcasts in it, and I'm listening to news about Missouri, and I'm listening to news about Texas, all over the U.S., I learn a lot more about what's going on in agriculture and what I can bring back to my own operation. And I think the sooner that more companies, more media outlets go in this direction, it can only be a benefit to them as they expand their presence.
Well, I think you've made an excellent point, and one I really haven't even used in my own presentations, but that's going to change now, and that is the idea that one of the things that this podcasting allows, especially in a business like agriculture, is to get a perspective from areas where you haven't had an access to the traditional media outlets.
Yeah, being able to take the internet and what you can learn on the internet with you in your iPod, for example, it can make for a lot better than listening to the same radio station all day and the same songs and the same everything. Being able to actually learn while you're sitting out there on the tractor with nothing better to think of, especially when the tractor steers itself and everything's going along on its own. You can only read your operator's manual in your tractor so many times while you're sitting there. So being able to actually listen to something new and keep your mind focused is quite valuable.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you, Dwayne, and we certainly would like to keep in touch and perhaps do this again when time allows. And that's Dwayne Leslie, who is the president of the Global Auction Guide. You can find that at globalauctionguide.com. And his main website that really got this thing going for him is Farm Auction Guide at farmauctionguide.com. And with this Zimcast, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.